Good morning, everyone, and welcome back out into the bush. What could be a little bit of a showery morning. Today, we're going to look at a scene that's been building all the way through the Gospel of John as we've read and studied it. Today, we'll look at the cross of Jesus. I really do stand in awe of what we're about to look at today. Now, question. Is the crucifixion of Jesus a defeat? Some would think so. Or is it a resounding victory? Well, I'll let you make that decision as we continue on. Then I'll make some comments at the end. The first thing I want to show you is something that Pilate, somebody that's going, who's very instrumental in the scene, something he said. Now keep in mind, at this very point, the beatings and the mockings of Jesus are already going on. Go with me to John chapter 19, verse number 5. Let's read something that Pilate did. Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." Behold the man. Well, what man is this? Well, this man that we're going to look at, all the world up to his time looked forward to him through the prophetic voice. And every person who has ever lived since that time look back to him at this one point in human history. My goodness, even our calendar years is divided by his life. Whether you're looking forward or looking back, you will either hate him or you'll fall at his feet and call him Lord. It's impossible to see Jesus as he is and remain neutral. You must decide. Now let's follow Jesus to Calvary. Father, use this for your glory. Hold the rain off, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 19, verses 1 through 3. Then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they struck him with their hands. The whip, the scourging, the cat of nine tails. It was 39 lashes. Why 39? Because way back in the Jewish law, it forbade going anywhere past 39 lashes. It doesn't matter what the offense. And Jesus took them all. Then they were saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they struck him with their hands. When they put the crown of thorns on him, it was mocking. You could almost hear him say, "You say you're a king, so here's a crown." They put it on his head. And the purple robe, that's the color of royalty. Then the mockings and the slappings continued. Makes you wonder how loving Heavenly Father could restrain himself and allow the created to slap the Creator. Let's look at verse number 4 and 5. Then Pilate went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And as we've seen before, Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." What's going on here? I think Pilate is sympathetic to the cause of Jesus, and he wanted to let him go. But, verse 6, "Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, 'Crucify him! Crucify him!'" May I say, those scoundrels. Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." Folks, just because you're religious doesn't mean you're righteous. Even a pagan official wanted to turn Jesus loose. But you see, he also had good reason to turn him loose, which we'll look at in just a few moments. Now let's look at verses number 7 and 8. The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid. Could it be that Jesus actually is the Son of God? He was beginning to have his thoughts about that. You see, I think Pilate had every reason to be nervous. You see, the night before, his wife had a dream that, "Don't come anywhere near this situation. Something desperately is wrong with this." And she had warned Pilate to back off. So Pilate returns to Jesus, verses 9 through 11. "And he went into the praetorium and said to Jesus, 'Where are you from?' But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, 'Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have the power to crucify you and the power to release you?'" Yeah, right. Verse 11, "Jesus answered, 'You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin.'" Basically, Jesus is saying, "Hey, Pilate, you're not as powerful as you think you are. You're not as much in control of this situation as you think." Let's look at Pilate's response. Verse 12, "From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, 'If you let this man go, you're no friend of Caesar's. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar.'" What's going on here? It's political manipulation. And the Pilate knew that the Jews were just corrupt enough to follow through with it. Verse 13 and 14, "When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and set him down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour he said to the Jews, 'Behold your king.'" I think Pilate had made his decision. Jesus really was the king of the Jews. Now watch the religious jealousy kick in. Verses 15 and 16, "But they cried out, 'Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!' Pilate said to them, 'Shall I crucify your king?' The chief priest answered, 'We have no king but Caesar.' Then he delivered them to be crucified. Then they took Jesus and led him away." Those hypocritical Jews, those Pharisees, they fight against the Romans when it suits them, and they claim Caesar as king when it suits them. Hypocrites. Verse 17 through 22, "And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the Place of a Skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, 'Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.' Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Therefore, the chief priest of the Jews said to Pilate, 'Do not write the King of the Jews,' but he said, 'I'm the King of the Jews.'" Listen to Pilate's response. "What I have written, I have written." See, Pilate is a smart man, and smart men follow Jesus. Verse 23 and 24. "Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece." The book of Exodus states that the high priest is supposed to wear a garment that is totally woven together in one piece. According to the book of Hebrews, Jesus was and is our high priest. Verse 24, they said therefore among themselves, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture may be fulfilled, which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did these things, just fulfilling prophecy. 25 through 27. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. In his dying moments, Jesus entrusted his mother to an unnamed disciple. And we know that disciple to be John, the writer of this book. Verse 28 through 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture may be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, put it into his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, It is finished. He bowed his head, and he gave up his spirit. It's finished. What's finished? What does that mean? Well, one way to look at this is to look at the last few words. John wrote, he gave up his spirit. You see, the life of Jesus was not taken from him. He willingly turned his spirit loose. No other man in the history of mankind has ever turned their own spirit loose according to their own design. When we die, we die. But Jesus willingly, in his own time, released his spirit because his job was finished. It was complete. Salvation's plan is complete and done. And now it's available. I know this is a sad, sad scene. But I also believe it to be the greatest victory ever achieved in the human race. What do you think of the final scene? Let me read what Oswald Chambers said. The death of Jesus Christ is the fulfillment in history of the very mind and intent of God. There is no place for seeing Jesus as a martyr. His death was not something that happened to him, something that might have been prevented. His death was the very reason he came. Wow, Jesus is a hero on the cross. To me, the cross of Jesus is a fabulous victory. Every demon everywhere has been put on notice. You're doomed. So you've seen the man. What are you going to do with the man, Jesus? Remember, you only have two choices. You'll either hate him and go on about your business, or you'll fall at his feet and call him Lord. What will you do? Father, I pray that everyone who is listening has either called on Jesus as Lord or will do so. Father, guide them, encourage them to fall at the feet of Jesus and worship. In Jesus' name, amen.